partners of Mission Food Bank could not exist without the loyalty, dedication, and support of volunteers, some of whom have been with us for over 30 years. Our team of volunteers consists of individuals who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners in Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
You're listening to the Rock'em Radio Show, the most powerful 2 hours on FM. Rock'em has been rocking the airwaves since 2002, bringing the best of rock straight to your ears. Visit us at www.rock'emweb.com and join the musical revolution. Rock'em, keep on rock'em.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. Vous écoutez au CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, ¿qué tal, chicos? Seguimos aquí en Rock'em Radio Show. Estábamos escuchando el tercer bloque o segundo bloque pasado. Hicimos con un bloque, ese bloque latinoamericano y con algo más de todos sitios. Espero que les haya gustado. Así que ahora vamos a continuar con una entrevista de un ya viejo conocido. He's an old friend from the Rock'em Radio. I'm talking about Richie Kotzen. Well, this is the second interview I had with Richie. And he's not a great guy, honestly. It's special, but it's Richie Kotzen, come on. Bueno, estuvimos conversando con Richie Kotzen acerca de su nuevo álbum, Nomad. Y es un buen disco. Él es un especialista en sacar álbumes en solista. O sea, es un guitarrista único. Su tiempo por Poison, ¿no? Y muchas cosas más. Ese es Richie Kotzen. Y ahí lo tienen en Rock'em Radio. Ahora vamos a tener una entrevista de unos 20 minutos que hablamos sobre su nuevo álbum y varias cosas más para que lo conozcan. Y estos que las personas que ya están en Rock'em Radio involucrados, que siempre nos siguen, todo. Podrán ver la antigua entrevista que le hizo Richie hace unos 4 o 5 años atrás y sabrán más de su vida. Es muy interesante, Richie. Definitivamente. Kotzen, Rock'em Radio Now. Ok, y vamos a escuchar un tema, el tema Insomnia del nuevo álbum Nomad for You right now on the Rock'em Radio Show. Here you have, my friend, Richie Kotzen for you.
Hi, this is Richie Kotzen on Rock'em Radio.
Rock'em Radio, your rock station.
Sucks inside of me. They cut me deep, but I don't bleed. It's real like a mystery. I can't fall asleep. This ain't no fever dream. Shut up, you're alright. Cause we're about to go out.
A heavy head.
Well, I'm here in Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
I like your background.
Really, yeah, that's my, this is my, you know, it's my office.
Beautiful. Warm. Yeah. Warm. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of wood.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Protect.
Cool. All right.
All right. Well, Richie, I have some question here for you.
Right.
How do you think Nomad shows your growth as an artist compared to your previous work?
Well, I think it's a really great representation of who I am as a recording artist. And I think it's a great representation of that in very few words, because there's only 8 songs.
Yes.
And when I was sequencing it, I kind of felt like, you know, in a weird way, this could be the best record I've ever done, because it's so effective in showing me for who I am.
Mm.
I think about the music that I grew up listening to that influenced me. I feel like all the elements of who I became as an adult and as a writer, well represented on the record. And I love the flow of it. You know, I actually, my attitude was, I put myself in the mindset of being a kid again when I went out and would buy vinyl.
Okay.
Put a record on, and I'd play side A, and then I'd play side B. And this record has that feel for me, you know. I actually went out and bought a little turntable to listen to it, you know. And that experience was really cool, you know.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, we can say that it's a personal album.
Very much. And, you know, I mean, look, they're all the solo albums, anytime an artist makes their own album, it's supposed to be personal. That's the idea. But sometimes, you know, you can kind of get distracted and pulled off course by outside influence. And that's a shame when that happens. You know, it's nice when you can have a situation where it's a pure representation. And that's what it is for me. And that's what I love so much about it. It's really the record that I was meant to make at this time.
Fantastic. What was the biggest challenge during the recording and production process of this album?
I didn't have any challenges at all, and I rarely do. I don't recall any challenges. I mean, the only challenges that happen is really when I work with other people. At that point, there becomes a healthy challenge, and that is in finding a middle ground to where your perspective is well represented along with another person or people, if it's a band. So I think challenges in the creation of music exist more often in a group environment, whereas being a single entity, there's no real challenge. I mean, unless I was schizophrenic, you know, I could challenge myself. But being that I'm one guy with one goal and one desire, I don't run into that sort of issues.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. How do you describe the mastering process, and how do you make sure the album kept the unique energy that defined your music?
Well, I am very fortunate. Back in 1994, I mean, that sounds like, wow, that's so long ago, I was signed to Geffen Records, and the gentleman that did a lot of the mastering back then, David Donnelly, someone that I maintained a relationship with. Now, you'll see his name on the biggest albums, you know, be it Aerosmith or big soundtracks like Forrest Gump.
Wow.
He has mastered almost all of my albums. He has mastered all of my solo albums since then. And I just have full trust, you know, in his work. This is the first album I've done in a long time that I didn't mix myself.
Okay.
A lot of times when I work, my music kind of, the mix comes together as I overdub it, and by the time it's done, it's done. You know, this album, I handed it over to Jay Rustin to mix it for me. And the real reason was, when I came off the road, I was having some issue with my ear, and I thought, you know, I want to have somebody else, you know, have another perspective on it, just because it was for the first time I was like questioning my own hearing, you know, and that it's getting a bit better.
Great.
You know, it's a tinnitus, you know, it's a 4K frequency that's always ringing. I just wanted to make sure I didn't try to mix my record and suddenly, you know, the hi-hat is the loudest thing on the album, you know what I mean?
Understandable.
Yeah.
Oh my. Is there a song on this album that felt like a musical experiment for you? If so, which one and why?
Well, I think the song that stands out to me, it's probably my favorite one, is the last song on the record called Nihilist.
Nihilist.
And this has a very interesting attitude about it, the approach to the production and the, you know, the song itself as the message is very simple. But the way that the music lives with that is something that that I think came together in a very special way. It's something I'm quite proud of, and I think it's unique you know, to the rest of the album. It's the oldest song too. Yeah, it's the song that has been in existence the longest, and so I just never knew where that song should live as it relates to releasing it, and then everything kind of came together, and now it closes my album.
No, perfect.
Yeah.
What keeps inspiring you to create new music after so many years in the industry?
I don't know. I mean, it's just sort of like what happens is that I get ideas and I act on them. Like, so I'll have something come to me, and it kind of lives for a period of time until eventually I have to get it out, you know?
Okay.
And my end game is to get whatever's in my head to come out of the speakers. Once the speakers are reproducing what's happening up here, it's job done. You know, then it's just a matter of, well, do I want to share this with anybody or do I want to keep it for myself?
Well, some people say that that's called talent.
Yeah. Well, call it what you will, but that's what's going on.
Your previous album, Smith Colson, was well received. I have it here. It's amazing.
Oh, good.
It's amazing. What are your expectations for how Nomad will be received, and how do you handle both positive and negative feedbacks?
I have no expectations. I stopped having expectations as it relates to my musical work many years ago.
Okay.
So now, that's a pretty hard statement. And, you know, if you talk to my manager, they might argue with me because, you know, I will say, hey, guys, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this or that? But, you know, the reality is, you know, when I go to bed at night, I expect nothing because I don't like the feeling of disappointment and anticipating and all those things. I find very uncomfortable, very disturbing and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like is I like to feel good about things. And what makes me feel great is when I can bring my ideas to life, my musical ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the first and foremost is that I am doing it for myself. I do it, and not in a selfish way. I'm not saying I'm doing it like I'm grabbing something from like an ice cream cone and saying that's mine. I'm saying that this whole process of making music, many years ago, I realized how exciting it was for me to do it, and then how depressing it was to have strangers tell me why I can't do this, why you can't do that, why that isn't as good as this, and this isn't that, and why they're disappointed in that. All that shit is so meaningless. These are people that some of them I haven't met, some of them actually don't even exist anymore. So a lot of this stuff I've learned is meaningless and not really relevant to my own personal happiness. And so because this making music affair brings so much joy to me, I really don't try to focus on expectations. I try to eliminate that. You know? Pleasant surprises, I welcome them, you know. And so if someone likes something I do, that's great. I love that.
Yes.
As far as criticism, I mean, I even told management when the record was done, I said, listen, I said, I made this record. Do me a favor. When you listen to it, if there's something that you like and you want to say something positive, say, hey, Richie, your song, This Is a Test, really moved me. It really meant something to me. By all means, let me know. I like hearing that. That's nice. But if anything strikes you as something that puts you off, I don't care. And I don't mean that to be a jerk. It doesn't matter to me if you don't like it. Just don't tell me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to tell me, hey, you know, that song, Insomnia, I really hate that. I don't like it. It really bothers me because I don't care, and I don't. There's nothing I can do about it if it bothers you. It's really your problem, not mine. So I told them. I said, "Don't tell me," you know. I don't, because it's not going to change anything. It is what it is, And so as far as to answer your other part of that, as far as negative criticism, here's my attitude on that. My my website is for people that like what I do, okay? My Instagram and my YouTube, it's for people that want to support what I do, people that like it, people that, a lot of folks come up to me and say, hey, look at this tattoo, and it's the lyrics to some of my songs, or a photograph, or a signature. And, you know, when I share it, this stuff, I'm sharing it for that crowd. That's the crowd that I'm interested in. So if someone comes to my fan site, my YouTube channel, and says something hateful, I just remove it, or I have management remove it. I have someone look at it and say, meh, that's not necessary, because this is a site for people that lack what it does.
But of course, yeah.
And so that's how I deal with all that stuff. So it just kind of doesn't, it just kind of, you know, it's like an Aikido master, you know, take that energy and you turn it and put it over there across the room.
Yeah.
Out the door, you know.
Yes, now it's like there's too many negative comments on the website. It's free in the internet.
It's human nature. That's how people are. And a lot of those people that, you know, that's their, you know, that's the, for me, it's writing a song and recording it and listening to it. For them, it's, you know, talking bad about somebody else to make them feel more empowered. You know, everybody's got their thing, you know.
Yes, we are kind of similar in that point. I like it. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Richie, you work with Vicente Cordero on several videos, including in An Instant in 2015.
Yeah.
The Den, both in 2018. And now with Insomnia. How has your creative chemistry with him helped capture your artistic evolution, especially in the new Insomnia video?
I mean, I love working with him, and we're very close, and really good friends. And, you know, it's important to have someone that you trust, you know, because I'm going to tell you, when you do this, you know, when I'm in the studio, and everyone always says to me, oh, you should film yourself recording. People love to see that. I'm like, yeah, I know. People love to see a lot of stuff. But, like, when there's a camera around, there's a whole other kind of pressure, you know. Mm-hmm. And so making a music video, it's a whole other thing. And it can be very taxing on your nerves, at least on mine. You know, some people probably love getting in front of the camera. You know, the older I get, the less exciting it is for me to do that, you know, for obvious reasons. So it's a very anxiety-ridden situation. And then someone like him makes it very easy, so that once it starts happening, I don't have any of those anxieties. I don't have any stress. I actually get into a point where I like it. I enjoy it. And I feel inspired, and it becomes like a, you know, a bit of a high and a rush. So he is one of those people that allows that to be a relaxed environment. So I feel very comfortable and confident in what I'm doing.
I like your video, Insomnia. It's really good.
Thank you.
The room, everything is turning. It's amazing. Where was the video filmed, and how did the location influence the atmosphere you wanted to convey?
Yeah, so I live in LA County, Los Angeles County, California, and that location was downtown in the middle of the city. And in that location, they had all these little sets. So you had the room that I was sleeping in, you had the other room that was like kind of a living room, kind of kitchen kind of room, and then they had this kind of crazy tunnel. They had two of these weird vibey tunnels, and then they had another thing with the king's throne. And yeah, so when I looked, yeah, I had a concept for the video, and then when I found the location, I said, well, Vicente found it and sent it to me. I said, you know, we could do the whole video here. And so then I wrote down all this stuff that I wanted to try to do, and that's how it works. And so he, you know, I pretty much directed myself, you know, and directed what I wanted to do in each, you know, scene, in each environment. And then he made sure that the photography, you know, the cinematography was correct. And, you know, it was fun. I think it's a fun video, and it's a nice visual to go with the song.
Yeah, I think you both did a great job. It's amazing. Thanks. I like it. I like it. You have an extensive tour to promote Nomad.
Yeah.
How do you prepare to keep your energy up during so many consecutive days?
Yeah, there's a lot of consecutive days. Well, you know, my attitude is that I'm only on stage for, you know, 75 minutes to 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
But the rest of the day, I got nothing to do. So, I mean, really, my attitude is I should be able to play every day. Because, you know, there's 24 hours in a day. And if I'm only actually functioning, working, you know, for an hour and a half a day, I think at my age, that's something I should be able to pull off.
Looking back at your career, from your first album to Nomad, what do you think were the most important moments that defined your sound?
Well, you know, I'm talking about my entire life in music. Yeah, you know, I mean, my childhood was important. Seeing Stevie Wonder in Valley Forge when I was very young, and then shortly after that, seeing George Benson perform left a big impression. And then years later, seeing Iron Maiden perform left a big impression. Forming my first band, you know, and getting out in the club circuit and playing and making a living at music at a very young age was very impressionable. Meeting Mike Varney from Shrapnel Records.
Oh, yes. I remember the band Icon.
Yeah.
Records, yes.
Moving to Los Angeles at the age of 21 and meeting Jimmy Iovine and being in his house in Malibu talking about what kind of record I was going to make for Interscope, even though the record never got made, that was a very powerful year for me. A lot of things happened in that year. And that's kind of what led me into believing in myself as an artist, you know, and then from there, I just kind of stayed focused and kept writing and kept recording and kept playing. And you know, it just snowballed from there.
Okay. Richie, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self at the start of your career?
Oh. Well, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things that, you know, I could have done differently that would have led to different results and taken me down a very different path. But, you know, that's a scary thing because I have to say, I am in a very great position and I'm very thankful for that. And I know it was a lot of very hard choices and hard work that got to where I am. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, you could say if I would have listened and been more obedient in certain circumstances with certain record deals, that perhaps I would be much higher up the ladder in my career, commercially.
Commercially, okay.
But then again, maybe not, you know. I don't know. See, that's such a wild card thing. I mean, had I been more obedient, I would have never joined the bands that I joined. It would have never happened. You know, a lot of things would have been very, very, very different. But I don't dwell on that because it's a useless, you know, expenditure of energy. It's a waste of time. And it's not something that I really focus on. So, you know, I am where I am. I'm very happy where I am. I really feel like however I played the cards that I'm dealt, I did very well with them.
You know? There's a lot of people that love your music.
That's thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
A fun question, all right? If your guitar could talk, what do you think it would say about your relationship after all this year together?
Oh, that's a good question. Where is my guitar? It's hanging over there. Maybe it would say I'm tired.
Probably. But he's loyal. He's with you.
He has no choice.
Yeah. Yes.
Richie, any last words for this interview?
No, thank you very much. I had a great time. Thanks for having me on your show.
Radio, your rock station.
All of the treasures I've won, they used to shine for me. Now your face is all I see. All I see. All the fortune in my hand. Can't you see from where I stand?
Rock'n Radio, your rock station.
Yeah.
Radio, your rock station.
Got no crown. A $1 million smile dreaming for a lifelong frown. Why lie? Really talking now.
You don't need it, but I know that it's just smile in the mirror, the sadness in a smile.